Turn your Bibles, please, to 119th Psalm. In verse 11, I think we see a very familiar passage. I hope it is familiar to us. But I'm interested in looking at this particular verse to see the different translations that you might have and what they would say. And mine is the American Standard Version, the Authorized Version. Nobody can ever get it anymore, so it's dying out. Archaic, as it may be, is a pretty good translation. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 11, "Thy word," and American Standard says, "I have laid up in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Those of you with a King James translation, what does it say? Up there? Is that what it looks like? "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Laid up, hid. And some of you with the newer translations, what does it say? Treasure. "Thy word have I treasured in my heart." And when I think about that, I'm not criticizing that, because as you'll see, that's a good translation too. But I've come to realize people say, "Oh, I treasure God's word. I just love it. I love the way it sounds. I love the way it reads," and all of those things that I just treasure. It's wonderful to me. And is that all that verse is saying? Is that really what the verse is saying? Treasure? Well, what do you do with the treasure? If you don't want it to be lost, what might you do? Find it. And if you cared about something special, you would lay it up carefully so you could get it again. It is that valuable to you. So all of these terms that we're looking at about treasuring God's word, we're beginning to see, well, what does it mean to do that? And what are we looking at? We're looking at the idea of the word of God. Are we inspired? No. Do we have men that are speaking scripture today? Even though we're told to speak as the oracles of God, we're not inspired. We have a completed faith, according to Jude 3, that we're supposed to contend for. So what is the Bible to us? It's not scrolls. It's the Bible you hold in your hands today. Old and New Testament, the scriptures. And we've got to lay them up at a certain place in our hearts. And that's not the blood pump, that's our minds. As we'll see, that's important to do. So getting it from the page, black ink on white paper or colored paper, to our minds is what we're doing. We are laying it up in our heart. We are just not treasuring it, saying it's wonderful. We're involved in hiding it. And we'll see that as we continue on. But let's look at the idea of what he says, "Thy word." What is the context of the word in this particular setting? Let's notice, first of all, in verse 10. "Let me not wander from thy commandments." What kind of heart is expressed there? With my half-heartedness, with my whole heart have I sought thee. I've given it all that I have. I have sought thee with all that I am. With all of my heart I've sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Preacher, hold on a minute. I treasure God's word. I think it's wonderful. I love to read the stories from the Old Testament and the New Testament. I treasure that. But when you start getting down to commandments, what does that mean to me? It means I've got to do this. Thou shalt do this. Thou shalt not do that. We don't like commandments. But what's the context of what we're supposed to treasure? "Thy word have I hid in my heart. Let me not wander from thy commandments." And then in verse 12, because God is blessed, the idea not only he gives blessings, but he deserves blessings. Well, notice, "Blessed art thou, O Jehovah. Teach me thy" what? "Statutes." The word of God is not only the commandments of God, but it's also the statutes. Here are the laws that I want you to follow, that you have to do, commandments. But the idea, there are those statutes. And then we notice in verse 14, in this context, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all" what? "All riches." Used to be If you were a millionaire, you're pretty rich. But are you a millionaire, you're very rich? I still think so. But no, you need to be a billionaire. Let's put it out there. You just be a multi-billionaire today. Do you have the same attitude about those riches as you do have with the Word of God? And notice also, he didn't say, I rejoiced in your word. He said, I rejoice in the what? The way of thy testimonies. God is witnessing to us testimonies. He's witnessing to us the way that we're ought to go. You like the way God leads you? Oh, it's restrictive, isn't it? It's demanding, is it not? Sometimes it's not easy for young people to stand up for what is right. But so when you see that and you see the peer pressure come upon you wanting you to compromise, you stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do that. Because you know what? I don't care if you offer me a million or a billion bucks. I rejoice in the way you lead, God. I rejoice in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. So what word are we hiding, treasuring, laying up in our heart? Why are we doing that? The commandments of God. The things that God has given to us, he is giving faithful testimonies to us. His statutes, his laws are there, and the way he leads me, the way he guides me, the way it goes, from a young age to an old age, I rejoice. It's not something I cringe at. It's that I've got to do it. Mom and Dad's going to make me do it. I've got to please them. Then I've got to please God. And it's just so restrictive. I want freedom. And God gives you freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom, as we'll see this week, from a lot of heartaches, too, when you follow the way of God. And so that's what we're talking about. When we say, I love thy word so much, I treasure it so much, that I hide it in my heart. You say, well, hide it in my heart? Let's see that particular word. In the Hebrew word, when he says, I have treasured and I have laid, let's notice what that Hebrew word is. And let's see some illustrations about it. Turn with me to Exodus, the second chapter. Exodus 2 and verse 2. Moses' mother is doing something with Moses for 3 months. And I just imagine how difficult this was with a crying infant. But the Bible says the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she did what for 3 months? She hid him. Oh, treasure God's word. I just think he's a goodly child. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he precious? I just love to look at him sleep. Is that what it meant? I treasure it? No, he hid him. As long as she could hide him, she did that. So we begin to realize, no, I'm hiding it in my heart. I'm just saying it's wonderful. I am hiding it there for a specific purpose, and we'll see that. Proverbs 1 and verse 11. A father is giving great advice to his son. And it's really dealing with peer pressure. And when he tells the son, when they tell you to go off and to do these bad things, as we'll see what they wanted to do, he says, come with us. Let us lay wait for blood. Let us work privily for the innocent without cause. I want to emphasize the word, American Standard Version, work privily. Well, that's our word hiding. What picture do you get there? Let us swallow them up alive to Sheol, and as a whole as those that go down into the pit. So we're going to be laying wait for blood, and we're going to work privily for those who are innocent. They don't deserve to die, and that's what they're going to do at our hands. We're going to rob them. We're going to steal from them. Come join us, because we'll all share in it and share alike. Bunch of thieves. They really do that? I've always found them knock each other off before the story's over. But no, we're going to share, and we're going to have great substance. Come with us. And the father said, no, don't go with them, son. Don't you know they're going to shed innocent blood? They're going to take life that's innocent. Don't go with them. What picture do you see there of working privily? Hiding, what I see. King James, pretty good, isn't it? Hiding, it kind of works, doesn't it? In Psalm 27 and verse 5. Here is a psalmist wanting to spend all of his days in the house of God. The presence of God's glory. He says in verse 4, I want to do that. I want to be there to see the beauty of Jehovah and to inquire in his temple. And then in verse 5, he says, here comes the blessings of it. For in the day of trouble, he, meaning God, will keep me secretly in his pavilion. In his covert of his tabernacle will he treasure me. Treasure, he just loved me. No, he'll hide me. That's a picture of being secret, is being protected in the presence of God and in the presence of his glory, which this time is the temple of Jehovah. In the covert, he'll hide me. So when the King James says hide, that's good. I want us to realize treasure is good if we understand what we're talking about, but I fear as people think about, oh, I treasure God's word. It's wonderful. I love the way it sounds. I like to read it. I love the stories. That's as far as they go. And that's not what this passage is saying, is it? It is saying, I have hid thy word. And because it's valuable, I hide it. And I have laid it up carefully because it's treasure. And I do it, but I lay it up carefully in my heart. We're going to see how that works in this verse. Well, let's notice, I've hid it where? In my heart. And when we speak about the heart, we speak about, that's where we understand with our heart. That's the Bible heart that we're speaking about. It is a place that we set forth our will. I determine to do something. I will to do something. Where does that start? In your heart. Where is your desire that you might have? Something you desire, something you want. I desire it from my heart. That's the seat of not only our knowledge and our will, determination, but our affections. We love from the heart. And the Bible speaks about that heart in that way. That is the very seat of our emotions, where we desire and where we understand. Let's put it together in Scripture. Turn with me to Proverbs, the second chapter. And verses 1 through 5. And see these elements there in wise counsel to a son. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and lay up my commandments where? My Bible says with thee. You know what part of thee he wants it to be. I lay up my commandments. I lay up thy word in my heart. That's with me. That's the connection with me. And it says, so as to incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. There's our will. If you incline your ear to something, that takes determination. I'm going to listen to that. I'm going to incline my ear to that type of instruction. He says not only that, but he says, I will apply thy heart to understanding. When you apply something, that takes effort, does it not? You apply yourself to your homework or your schoolwork or your job or even a recreation. You want to succeed in a sport. You apply yourself. That's our will kicking in. And that's, we do that from our heart. Please note, he's not applying yourself to knowledge. He's not inclining thy ear to that, but he's inclining your ear and your heart to wisdom and understanding. That's a little bit further step than knowledge. When you get knowledge, you say, well, this is interesting information. Now, how can I translate that into a wise way to walk? How can I see all these facts coming together to create wisdom in me and true understanding? That's the step we're going to. And ladies and gentlemen, you can just love God's word all your heart, all you want to, and that won't get it. It's going to take more than that about this laying and treasuring God's word in our heart. But that is where we get there's our will. Now listen to the desire. When he says, if thou shalt cry after discernment, and lift up thy voice for understanding. I want it. I desire it. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, you got that kind of desire for it. That's what we're talking about. Where does that take place? It takes place in our heart. That's where our desire is. And then he says, thou shalt understand the fear of Jehovah and find the knowledge of God. So incline thy ear to wisdom. Apply thy heart to what? Understanding. I will give the effort. That's my will. I desire it as much as silver and hidden treasure. That's why I desire it that much. My son, if that happens, you will understand what? The fear of Jehovah. When we think about the fear of Jehovah, do you cringe at the presence of God? He knows everything you do. Do we sit there, oh, I'm standing before God and I'm so afraid? God teaches of the New Testament that we're not to have an attitude of fear, but closeness. We cry out, Abba, Father. This fear is reverence. And what I'm impressed with is that when I apply my heart, my will, to gain understanding, there's the next step from knowledge, and I am seeking it as silver, hidden treasure, and there's my desire, then I am going to come to the point that I will understand the reverence of Jehovah. And we do not reverence God when we do not reverence His Word, His commandments, His law, His statutes, His ways. And sometimes that's a disconnect among us, not just young people, but old as well. That we say, oh, I reverence God, but you don't have time to study His Word. Would you say, oh, I've got some hidden treasure out here. I think it's worth $1 billion. And now, would you like to go dig for it? Yeah, let me get started. We do that, wouldn't we? As much, I love God's Word as much as I would hidden treasure. I desire it that much. When you have that attitude, you're going to grow up with a healthy reverence for God. Not fear. I just want to stay away from God. No, you come closer to Him. And you'll reverence Him and love Him, but it's always connected. How will I know if I reverence God? What's your attitude about the Word of God? What is our attitude about it? It's a great barometer. Because when I have that kind of attitude and desire and will for God's Word, He said, then I will understand the fear of Jehovah. And I'm going to really find the knowledge of God. We think about God's Word have I hid in my heart. We ask the question of why. And why, back to our passage, why did He want to do that? Somebody tell me. Thy Word have I laid up in thy heart, so what? That I might not sin against thee. This is a battle against sin. The very thing that brings forth spiritual death, we're in the battle to eliminate and to overcome. And it's interesting that here is God's Word being hidden in our hearts, and so that indeed we will not be involved in sinning against God. Now the question is, how are we going to make that happen in our lives? And I want to spend the rest of our time dealing with that. Because when we talk about God's Word and getting into our heart, how do we do that? You see that word meditation? You see that word memorization? Probably if you're 50 over, you say, that eliminated me. I can't remember a thing. There you can. That's for younger people. You know, I've seen some of your classes back here last night. The timeline, all the stories. I know y'all know the facts about things. Your mind is working when you're young. And that's a great time to teach our children. But as we grow older, this doesn't mean that we cannot keep on memorizing the Word of God. And we're going to see, I think that's a necessity. And what about this word meditation? You say, oh, I hope he doesn't talk about the cow's stomach and chewing cud. I haven't had lunch yet. That's what I'm going to talk about. Because that's the picture. What happens? What a cow. He just chews the cud. He just meditates upon that over and over again, regurgitating all that horrible stuff. But the Word of God is turning over your mind like that. That's what meditation is. I used to wonder about meditation. I thought that's kind of for the Far Eastern stuff. I remember going to the library, and at that time you could get some tapes. And I would go on trips, and I said, I'm going to get a tape, and there was one on meditation. I said, wow, I'll play that driving along. I'll learn some things about meditation. Well, I got in the car, and I played that, and it was constant humming. Humming. That's what it was. I'm getting in touch with my inner self. It wasn't. It was about humming to kind of. It got a kind of monotonous in it, but you get in tune with yourself. That's what meditation is. I said, that's why I don't like it. It's a farce. It's not scriptural. But the Bible speaks about meditating upon our word. We'll see that in our morning lesson, day and night. Meditate upon. And so, how am I going to meditate upon something, and without knowing what it says, and I may not be in a place where my Bible is accessible, but I can read maybe in the morning and read scripture and think about it during the day and maybe make that verse something I will memorize today. Just start with one, because all of God's Word is beneficial for us. But I think that's a process that we have to take, and it's something that maybe we don't do very much. I can read it. And I know sometimes I know where certain verses are on the page of my Bible. You do too, don't you? You've been through it enough. You just know where it is. I don't have to memorize it. I know where to go find it. But sometimes when the devil tempts us, it's not convenient when we have a Bible accessible. And the psalmist says, our word have I hidden in my heart. Laid it up. I hide it because it's treasure. So I won't sin against you. Now that laying up, that's what we're indeed talking about. Where we're going to do that, I think it's going to take this. And so when we see the Word of God connected with sin and connected with overcoming sin, I think it's interesting to see what the Bible says about the Word of God. And one of the pieces of armor, very offensive, is attacking. Not just protecting as a shield or breastplate or a helmet. It's something that is very active being used. And the Bible speaks of that in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, as being the sword of the Spirit. And what is the sword of the Spirit? The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Two times in this setting, we'll find that God tells us, through Paul, to put on the whole armor of God. Notice in verse 10, put on the whole armor of God. So what? That you may be able to stand against the deceptiveness or the wiles of the devil. Sounds like what our context is. So I won't sin against thee. How am I going to do that? I'm going to resist the devil. That sounds like what we're talking about. And then he says in verse 13, wherefore take up the whole armor of God, that you be able to withstand in the day that is evil, which is those days of temptation that come our way, be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Before you can say, I stand, you have to withstand in that verse, do you not? You have to fight the battle. I can dress up like a drugstore cowboy. I can have all the pistols and the hat and all the stuff and say, but you know good and well I'm not a cowboy. I'm not a real cowboy. I just look like that. And I can dress up that way. But dealing with a battle, you know how to rope a cow? No, you know how to ride a horse? Not very well. I mean, how can you be a cowboy? I just look. I'm looking the part. Well, are we just looking the part? Oh, I've got the whole armor of God on. I know where to go get the answer. I've got it on. I'm ready. But you never fight the battle. You give in all the time. Notice, in order to stand and say, I've done all to stand, you had to withstand. And it was the day that's evil. It's not a wonderful day when the temptation comes. And you're able to resist the fiery darts and the wiles of the devil because he's shooting at you. You're in a war. You're in a battle. He says, put on the whole armor of God. What do I put on? What do I put on? Whole armor sound like a bunch of different things, does it not? Yeah? Let's notice what those different things are. When he says, gird your loins with truth, what does John 17, 17 tell us? Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. You're going to sanctify them in thy word, and thy word is truth. What do you put on? I'm talking about the word of God here. Gird your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Where do I go find God's righteousness? Romans 1:17 says that after the gospel is the power of God to salvation, he said, therein is revealed the righteousness of God. You mean I go to your word and the gospel? That sounds like the same thing. And he says, also having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Jesus is our peace in Ephesians 2. And this is the gospel of peace. Sound like I'm talking about the word. I'm talking about the gospel. I'm talking about the gospel. And with all taking the shield of faith, where do I get faith? Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? Or the word of Christ. Sounds like we're talking about the same thing. We'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation. What is the gospel? It's the power of God to salvation. Talking about the same thing. And the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. You do not take on the whole armor of God and say, well, I'll leave a little room for the gospel. And I'll leave a room for this great author over here. Actually, Cato, he has some good things. I think I'll take him. And Dobson, he's another good writer. And I will take a little bit from, you know, Eastern religions, and I'll just kind of, I'm prepared. I am humming, and I am prepared to fight God. No, that's not what that passage is teaching. That's what it's saying. You get everything you need from the Word of God. It's protective. It will be that shield of faith for you. It is that gospel of peace, making peace with God and peace with your fellow man. It is indeed the gospel, the word of truth. It is that which you can gird your loins with truth. You go to this word. This is all you need. It pertains to life and godliness. And with all the different things, the noise around us, and this is the way you ought to live your life. This is good wisdom you need to follow. We need to come to grips and realize the word of God is all I need. And when I put on the whole armor of God, you might add one more to it, as he does with prayer. I take the word of God and with prayer, and I'm ready to do battle with the devil. I'm ready to do battle with the devil. Isn't that what Jesus did? Just turn with me to Matthew, the 4th chapter, and look and see how Jesus dealt with temptation. Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Lust of the flesh, he hungered. The devil said, here's how you want to satisfy me. It was a pride of life. Just to, you know, jump from the pinnacle of the temple. Angel's not going to let you hit the ground. Psalm 91:2 says so. He's going to scripture that day. Or say, all the kingdoms of the world, I give it to you if you'll bow down and worship me. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Yeah? Isn't that what we want to know? Thy word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Jesus did not sin. So what example can I follow? Well, notice how he dealt with the devil. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, you'll notice when he says, you'll turn the stones to bread. He answered and said, it is written. Why did he go there? Because that's how you do battle with the devil. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Where do I find that written? Deuteronomy. a chapter, you'll find that in a context where God is saying, I fed them with manna that they knewest not. They couldn't invent manna. It didn't grow in the fields. It came from God. He said, I did that to help them know they don't live by bread alone. But in Deuteronomy, but everything that proceeds out the mouth of God, and Jesus says now, it's the word that proceeds out of his mouth. Jesus is the word. This is what impresses me. Jesus is the word. He's a source for Deuteronomy. But what he did for us is that he says, it is written. He said, this didn't come from me. It is written, but it did come from him. He was intimately connected with the Word of God. He is the Word. That impresses me. But what he did for us was that he took this and it is written. This is how we can do it. Now, I'll ask you something. It is written. Where? Oh, I know where. Deuteronomy. Excuse me, devil. Take a moment. I've got to turn over here in my scroll to Deuteronomy. The 8th chapter. Oh, I got it now. Did he do that? Or did he have it? He knew it is written. He knew exactly what it was. That man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how he dealt battle. He armed himself with God's word. Even though he is the word, he armed himself with God's word. And he resisted the devil because he knew what was written. And this was contradicting. Because God didn't tell me to turn the stones to bread. I can do that, you know. So he won't act. We continue. And notice he deals with the idea of quoting from the Psalms. Your hands, they shall bear thee up, and happily they dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said, again it is written, thou shalt not make trial of the Lord thy God. You shall not test him. You shall not try to prove him. And that's exactly what this will be doing. He knew the harmony of Scripture. No, you quote Scripture. But in a situation where it contradicts another Scripture, I know you're teaching error, or I got the wrong idea about this Scripture. Because Scripture harmonizes. I think that's important in our study. Sometimes we go off in tangents. We want to prove this. We want to prove that. We have to harmonize God's Word. Jesus did that. He said, devil, you can quote Scripture, but it contradicts this Scripture. He fought the battle on that level too. In verse 10, it is written, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Deuteronomy 6. Jesus didn't have time out there in the wilderness, I don't think he had access to it, to go look up the word. How did he get in his mind? How do we get it in our mind? We're going to have to know. We're going to have to read it. I think we're going to need to memorize it. And it'll be easy to memorize when you just keep meditating on it. Not humming, but rolling those words over. What do they mean? What do they mean? And that, Jesus is our example for that. And that takes effort, desire, will, but we can do it. You know what? You'll be as successful fighting the devil too. I realize that we all sin, fall short of the glory of God. A lot of times we can do better than we're doing. We need to strive for that. Let's talk about some scriptures as we close the lesson that I think would be good to memorize. And I'm sure probably you already know these, and that's great. But if you were going to direct a child or maybe a mother, saying, before you go out the door, just quote this scripture. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Why, Mom? Why is that important? Well, out of it are the issues of life. Think about the importance of that passage. Especially in a life of a young person. That where can I center and focus our attention that will have an effect on every facet of your life? I'll go up to your heart. And you need to keep your heart with all busyness, diligence. Swift to do something. This is very important. I'm being busy doing something. Getting diligence. to keep my heart, because I know what comes in life issues from the heart. That's a wonderful thing to teach the child when they're going out on a date. Hopefully you've done this before they did that. Don't throw it on for the first time. But the idea, they're out there and going with their playmates and classmates and things like that. These are things to keep in the mind, especially of a young person. That's very important. Another one, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in Jehovah with what part of your heart? With all thy heart. Oh, I think I've got a wise way to do things. I think that's well to do it this way. Lean not upon thy what? Own understanding. In all thy ways, here's the way I'm walking. All thy ways acknowledge him. You know what he'll do? He'll direct thy paths because he has a way for you to walk. What a wonderful passage to show that total commitment to God and how that will affect itself in the ways that we walk. And God, I'm not coming as a know-it-all. I'm coming surrendering my heart unto your word and your ways. I will not lean. And, well, I know God says that, but I think it ought to be this. I won't lean on my own understanding. But I'm going to acknowledge you in all thy ways. I'll acknowledge you. God said, I'll direct your path. Wonderful passage to give to our children. What a wonderful way to memorize it, have our children memorize it and think about it, roll it over, apply it, see how that text can fit our lives. I think we'll do great in not sinning against God. In Psalm 46, 1 through 2, it's a picture of God's attitude toward his people Israel. That's the context. He's called them from the four corners of the earth, and I've chosen you. And he says, God is our refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth do change, and though the mountains be shaken in the heart of the sea. When God's people can come to God having that type of confidence, that's a wonderful thing. But let me see how practical this could be. You're called to the hospital. In order we get more calls, we get like that. And there have been situations where you call the hospital, and here's a loved one, but they're not Christians. Maybe a lot of the family members are not Christians, and maybe they are. But a lot of the family members are there, and all of a sudden, your loved one has gotten the bad news that they don't have just a few more weeks or days to live. They're terminal. In this immediate sense. What does that seem like? Their world has just been shaken. They don't know what to do. I've been with families that had no foundation in the Word of God. The world is just through. It's changed where they can't deal with it. And they're sitting in silence. They say, preacher, can you say something? Yeah, I can. I can, but I need to go back to my office. I've got a passage I think will really fit this occasion. Give me a few more minutes. I'll be back up here. It'll work that way. We want it now. And because you may be in that position, this will be a wonderful. Your world has changed. Even though the earth did change, and here's something of a catastrophe, all of the high mountains, all those have been shaken into the midst of the seas. They're covered up. They are over. That's catastrophe. I don't care if the mountains were the midst of the sea. I don't care if the earth changes. And I know your world has just changed. God is our refuge and strength, and we don't have to apply for an appointment with God. He is very present help in trouble. Not in good times. He's always there, even in trouble. One verse for that occasion. And you don't just say, well, I'm going to I'm waiting for that one. I'm going to put that. No, this is what you need to think about in life, because you're going to have trouble. Your world's going to change. Everything's not going to be easy all the time. What a wonderful passion to have. But when that moment comes, when the world, worldly people are shaken to their core, you realize I've got a God that cares. And we go to Him. And that may turn their lives around. I know I've had relatives through terrible situations in our families. They turned to God in times like this. They didn't know God. And they turned to God in difficult times. I think about the prodigal son. He came to himself when? Came to himself when his world was shaken to its core. And that's the way we ought to be. Another one, Isaiah 41. This is very definitely dealing with the people of Israel. He said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know who needs that? It's when you're standing for God's truth, when you're standing in the world that they're compromising, and you're standing for truth, don't be dismayed by the wicked. I'm going to be there. I'm going to help you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to uphold you by the right hand of my righteousness. You keep doing right. And that's an encouraging passage to think about. When even your brethren are compromising the truth. And that's what will help us get through these difficult times. Galatians 2 and verse 20, and I'll close. What a comprehensive passage of our life as a Christian. I have been what with Christ? Crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, here's the word flesh. It's not works of the flesh, it's this body. The life I live in the flesh, I live in faith. Faith in the Son of God, what did He do? I'll never forget. He loved me. Gave Himself up. Dying to self, living in this flesh, living by faith. Faith in the Son of God, and it's not, well, Son of God, that's wonderful. No, He loved me enough to die for me. I'll keep serving. This will strengthen us. Why not take some passages like that this week and memorize one a day. Keep them in your minds. I think they'll help you understand your life as a Christian and the nature of God's relationship with us. I think we can be stronger people of God. Thy word have I laid up in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And I hope this week it'll be profitable for you to do just that. Thank you very much.